Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin a two-part study titled The Three-Stage Revelation of New Jerusalem. As we look closely at Revelation chapter 22, verses 2 and 3, and other supporting scriptural passages. We did have some so-called technical difficulties with our slide presentation, but very little content was lost, and the Bible student will benefit greatly from this study of our future home. And as you listen, please remember that if you miss all or part of any of our Revelation studies, you can find them in YouTube and sermon audio playlists that are posted on bbfohio.com. And you can also hear these studies streaming on our 24/7 internet radio station at bbfohioradio.com. If you'd like to contact us with questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send your email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or send your letters by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And now, we begin this very important two-part study of Revelation chapter 22, verses 2 and 3, titled The Three-Stage Revelation of New Jerusalem. This is part 1 of 2. Father, we just thank you for this time to get in your Word, and even if the slides are not the way they're supposed to be, we'll get through this, and your Word will not return void. And the main purpose of our studies is to help folks to understand the Bible better so that when they leave here, they can go home and read it every day with more insight, more understanding. Each and every passing Sunday and Wednesday study helps their daily reading. And we just pray your Holy Spirit would help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to talk about the three-stage revelation of New Jerusalem. We're going to look at, actually, Revelation 21, 2, and 3, if they're both here. I don't know if the slides are both there. If they're not, you guys can read verse 3 to me. But as we saw in our last study, new heaven and new earth doesn't apply to a single event or a single episode. And that causes confusion. That's what's called not rightly dividing the word of truth. If you don't pay attention, you don't see that. So then every time you see the new heaven, new earth, you think it's talking about basically the end of the dispensational plan, and you try to shove everything back there. And in the same way, we're now going to see that the new Jerusalem exists in two temporary settings. And then also a final eternal setting. And beginning of verse 2, read that. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. So the New Jerusalem is our eternal home as believers. And I just want to make this clear. It's kind of a funny thing. People who study their Bible a little while, sometimes they get real picky. And they'll say, well, when we die, we go to heaven, but we're not going to be in heaven for eternity. And that's kind of true and kind of not. We're not going to be in heaven all the time throughout eternity. But what we're going to, like, for example, those who die in Christ right now, they go to be with the Lord, and that's where they go. And then when they return for their glorified bodies, it will be at the end of the tribulation, 70th week of Daniel. And they will receive a glorified body. Then, I'm getting my timing mixed up. When they come back to get their body, it's the end of this age, at the time of the rapture, and they'll get their body. We'll meet them in the air, and then we'll go back to this place. And then, at the end of the tribulation, the New Jerusalem comes down, but not all the way to the earth. And then, at the end of the millennium, it does come down to the earth. We're going to look at it more detail here in just a minute. But New Jerusalem is prepared as a bride. And it said in verse 2, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem," this is talking about heavenly Jerusalem, "coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." We just want to start by pointing this out. New Jerusalem is not the bride, but the home of the bride. It says in the text, prepared as a bride. Now, if you're prepared as a bride, but you're not the bride, then you're not the bride. Amen? Sometimes the only way to say it is to say it in like Mr. Captain Obvious terms, you know. New Jerusalem is not the bride, but the home of the bride. This is important because hyper-dividers and other cults get this wrong. And you may say, well, that's not really a big deal, you know, if they get that wrong. Well, the problem is that they go on to build error upon error, or as we have said, heresy begets heresy. I just found that the sound effects do a good job of waking some of you up. So don't think it's going to stop anytime soon. New Jerusalem is the home of the bride. I love that. By the way, that's, again, the shirt. That's why I wore it. It's a nice, want a mansion. And so people look at that and they say, what's that mean? You're like, oh, well, I can tell you how to get one of those. But verse 2 said, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And the bride is the church and is now espoused to Jesus Christ. And it's just wild how you can read what we're about to read and they'll still deny that the church is the bride. When in 2 Corinthians 11:2, the church age, we are basically going through an espousal time during our life here. And it says in verse 2 of 2 Corinthians 11, "For I am jealous of you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to" who? Now, how can you argue that? The bride is the body of Christ, the church. And it's just wild how that you see these guys that say, well, how can you call the bride the body? And it's okay. When God uses these terms, it's to give you a picture, but it's not exactly the same as, you know, you in a physical sense. You look, it's just like the Bible says that the body of Christ is made up of different body parts. That's not so that we can actually go around and say, okay, who wants to be the big toe? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, there you go. We have a winner. No contest. Jenny is our big toe. And, you know, who wants to be the left ear? Charlie, you win. You were first. And that's how some people just seem to not be able to grasp the purpose of these, you know, pictures that God paints, word pictures. And He's telling us that we are, as a bride ourselves, we are as a chaste virgin to Christ. Not that we are chaste virgins. I mean, virgins, if we're, you know, in a physical sense, if you're married, you don't remain a virgin physically. It's using that picture in a spiritual sense, that the body of Christ is born again. It's made up of born again Bible believers, blood bought saints. Many of us are sinners. Amen? I mean, every one of us, all of us are saved sinners. And all of us have committed, and when I said many of us are sinners, what I meant, actually was thinking along the lines of, many of us, before we got saved, committed sexual sin. So we weren't virgins in the technical, physical sense, but we were saved. And in a spiritual sense, You are now being presented as a chaste virgin to Christ. Even if you were a bad person before you got saved. Or not just, maybe not a real bad person, but you made a mistake. As a, you know, we won't get into all that, but settling that we can now see, settling that issue, we can now see the three-stage revelation of New Jerusalem. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. That is really, I gotta tell you, it took a while for that to sink in. It's just not, doesn't seem intuitive that heaven is really New Jerusalem. When we talk about, and it's going to come out of heaven to the earth. And so there's a reason why that's hard to understand. You ask the question, coming down from where? Because folks, I mean, if literally this New Jerusalem came down from the third heaven to the earth, it would take a really long time in physical terms. And it would probably look like a big fireball, especially when it enters our atmosphere. So this is an amazing thing to think of, that until you think of the fact it's God, that from the edge of the universe, we believe it's to the north, we talked about that, this city, and this is kind of a picture of it on the shirt, this city is going to come down out of heaven. What does that even mean? Well, there's a reason why people have trouble understanding it, so we're going to go through this thing with heaven real quick, just so we can lay that context. Paul wrote of where it is in Galatians 4:26. If you were here for a Galatians study, you saw that the Jerusalem is above, and if you were at the baby shower, this was one of the answers to Jenny's really rough quiz she laid on the ladies and a few gentlemen there. Read Galatians 4:26, read that. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. That, I have to tell you, it's one of the greatest Bible verses. Because, first of all, everybody from Augustine on down, church fathers all the way to today, they've tried to tell you that the church is the mother of us all. And they call, the Roman Catholic Church called the church the mother church. The Bible never calls the church the mother. The church is made up of born-again babies. She's not producing babies. She's made up of babies who then mature and grow spiritually. So it's just the idea of a mother church is the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches. And it says here that Jerusalem, there's a Jerusalem which is above. So it's not the same as that place you see over there today. And by the way, it's a wicked place. I've never been there. If I could have gone previously, I might have. But I doubt if I'll make my way over there in this life. It's a very wicked place. There's a lot of wickedness in Jerusalem. A lot of sodomites, a lot of prostitution, a lot of drugs, all that stuff. It's going to get worse before it gets better. In the tribulation period, we read where it's called Sodom and Egypt. So this is a different Jerusalem. This is a Jerusalem which is above and it's free, which is the mother of us all. So, little reality check. This New Jerusalem exists now. Think of that. When you think of New Jerusalem, you think of where you're going to spend eternity. It is there now. And will someday come down. Once I studied this out myself, let me tell you something. I rarely look at the moon without thinking of New Jerusalem. I look at the moon and I just think that, I mean, folks, where we're living now, we can see the moon. And none of that light pollution and everything I've seen for years now. And even when I lived in Southern Ohio, I lived in a small town where there was still a lot of light and everything. But every once in a while, I would get out in the middle of nowhere and look up. And Brother Mike Kaler, he has a very nice telescope set up. Took it down the Hocking Hills, you know. And, I mean, pitch dark. And one time I went down there, and it was like a full moon almost. Set that thing up, zoomed in. I mean, it just looked like you could just reach out and touch the thing. It's amazing. It's big. And you just think, that's what you're going to think of if you grasp what we're learning tonight, is that you ain't seen nothing yet. The moon is incredible, but we haven't seen anything yet. Now, there are three stages of the of New Jerusalem, and we're going to start by looking at the three stages being in the heavens. It starts in the third heaven, comes into the second heaven, finally the first heaven when it lands actually on the earth. But to understand this fully, we need to review the biblical teaching of the three heavens. Now, to some of you who've been here for a while, this will be a review. But the third heaven, we think of it as the heaven of heavens, or the holy heaven. It's the place where God's glory is. Psalm 2:4 says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." That plurality there is in reference to the fact that it's the third, it's the ultimate heaven, the place of God. Paul clearly refers to the third heaven in 2 Corinthians 12:2. He said, "I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven." That means there's three heavens. Amen? There are people who argue about that. They'll come up with some wild excuse. I just like to believe the Bible. Amen? It just makes life a whole lot easier. So there's three heavens, and he was caught up to the third heaven. And we don't have time to read the whole text, but he goes on to talk about what he saw. He couldn't even speak. He couldn't share the information. It was so unbelievable. It was unlawful that he should even speak of it. Well, this ultimate place of glory is what we mean when we simply refer to heaven. When we say, you know, someone died and went to heaven, we're talking about the third heaven. And that's the one Paul is talking about. We then see references to the universe between heaven and earth's atmosphere. This thing that we call outer space, that's the second heaven. It was created, of course, the description of Genesis 1:16, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." Fascinating passage. "He made the greater light," that's the sun, "the lesser light," the moon, "and he made the stars also." A few hundred billion of them, or I don't know how many. How many do they say there are now? And God just went, wow. And again, there's a lot of argument about this that we won't get into, but verse 17 says, "And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." The firmament of the heaven. So there's the third heaven, which is where God is. Then there's the heaven where the moon, the sun, it's even further away. And then you have all the stars and planets and everything. Unless you believe in a flat earth, and then it's all a big lie. Amen? Sadly, most false religion involves idolatry of this heaven. And it is referred to as all the host. Deuteronomy 4:19. How many of you heard of the zodiac? And you've seen the astrology and the horoscopes, and well, that's what happened. That sad. I mean, instead of looking up and saying, "What a wonderful God," instead they said, "We'll call that one Mars and worship it, and then we'll call that one Jupiter and worship it." It's crazy, but that's what God warned against in Deuteronomy. "And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon," that's the greater light and the lesser light, "and the stars," and he made the stars also, "even all the," what? "Shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them." He's warning not to worship creation. And it's an amazing thing to me that as we are claiming to be, you know, so much more technological, and we are, technology, just like Daniel prophesied, that in the last days knowledge would increase exponentially. It is. But at the same time, so is superstition. And folks, people are getting back to this. People are going back to the astrology that was once... It's been debunked so many times. The psychics have been debunked over and over. And we're not even talking about not just by Christians. Even there's atheists and people who are just skeptics who have tested these people and shown that they're frauds. But people love superstition. And you go to Romans chapter 1 and you read in there from the beginning of verse 18. And you see that it all goes hand to hand with a revival of sexual immorality and Sodom and Gomorrah. Men with men. Women with women. And it says they will worship the creation rather than the Creator. And that's what is happening in front of our eyes while everybody's got smartphones and going stupid. And they think they're so smart. And they're falling right back into this, looking at the second heaven. And instead of realizing this second heaven was created by a God in the third heaven, instead they make gods out of the second heaven. And what you're not seeing is, for some reason, I'm having hard drive problems. There was a couple graphics I was going to share. But then you have the third heaven. It's wrong. I fixed that earlier. But it's first heaven is our atmosphere. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Now listen, that's a heaven where birds fly. Now I'm going to test you. I know some of you might have flunked science, but I think you'll get this one right. Are there birds on the moon?
No.
Have you ever looked at the sun and seen birds landing on the sun?
No.
You shouldn't be looking at the sun. There's a reason why you don't see birds on the moon. And you're not going to see birds flying or, you know, like putting a shadow on the moon. They're not out there. That is in the second heaven. The birds are in a heaven, but it's a different heaven. It's the first heaven. So you, understanding that the first heaven is also where Satan is called the god of this world. And he's also called the prince of the power of the air. In Ephesians 2:2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. See, you're either going to give yourself over to the Creator God and repent of your superstition and turn to Him with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the free gift of salvation, provided when Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed His blood, was buried and rose again the third day, conquering sin and death. You're either going to be given over to that or to what we've been reading about in worshiping creation. And listen, don't be fooled. All these other religions are occultic. For example, Islam. They boast about worshiping one God, Allah. They're liars. They worship a black rock. They turn five times a day to pray toward a rock. It's in Saudi Arabia, in Mecca. And I think it's called the Kaaba. Now, I'm not trying to be gross. This is, you're all adult enough, I think I can say this. Go look it up. They go over there and they walk in a pilgrimage around this thing. And then some of the blessed ones get to go up and actually walk up and touch it and try to kiss it. And it's in a cylinder thing that looks like a woman's vagina. It's a reason they made it look like that. It's a sex cult. Muhammad was a sex addict, sex freak. And he was a spiritual sex freak. If you don't believe me, you need to do your research. Islam is a sex cult that is a death cult that worships a black rock. That's the truth. And you ask me about the religion, I can tell you. I think it's like a twin religion called Mormonism. Joseph Smith, another sex freak. He wanted to have a bunch of wives, so what did he do? Same thing Muhammad did. I've had a vision, and the Lord has said that I can have as many women as I want. How convenient. And so Joseph Smith does what? Has him a bunch of women, has as much sex as he can have, controls people with his supposed visions, and he sets up a religion based on Freemasonry. And the Mormon temple is nothing but Freemasonry in a kind of weird, twisted way. And if you ever get to see what they do, and they're not, I'm not talking about the local wards. They don't call their churches churches. They call them wards. But if you're a good Mormon, then you can get married to another good Mormon in the temple. And the whole thing, they got the white apron just like the Masons. They got the secret handshakes and secret code words and everything just like Masonic, you'd find in a Masonic hall. And they have a secret name for God, and the jaw bell on God of Masonry is adopted into Mormonism. And it's all superstition, and you'll find all kinds of stuff about astrology and the planets and everything in the temple of Mormonism and in the Masonic rites and everything. On and on we go through the whole thing. Why? Because you're either serving Jesus Christ, or Jesus said this, by the way. I'm not making this up. Jesus said that you cannot serve two masters. And there are only two masters. And you either love the one and hate the other, or love that one and hate the first one. And you're either in love with Jesus Christ, you're either a child of Jesus, you've been saved by Jesus, you belong to Jesus, or you're a child of the devil. This whole idea about, oh, we're all God, children of God, that's a lie from the devil. He wants people to believe they're children of God without having to be born again. So he can destroy them. That's what he's doing. He is the prince of the power of the air in this first heaven. And there's, isn't that pretty? It is within this biblical context that we look at New Jerusalem. See, if you don't understand what I just taught, you're not going to understand when you read the Bible about New Jerusalem. When you come across it, it's going to be confusing. But understanding what we just read, what we just studied, how'd that get there? I have no idea. Verse 2 said, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven." You immediately know where it's coming from, right? Where? Third heaven. See that? That just changes everything. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, there are three stages for the New Jerusalem. The first starts in third heaven. Remember this verse in John 14, 2? Verse 1. How does it start there? Get me started. "Let not your heart be troubled."
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station, available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.